Let us pray together. Our dear Father in heaven, we praise you today that you are good and that your steadfast love endures forever. Lord, you are the great King and sovereign over the whole universe. Nothing is outside your control. Thank you that you know all things and you plan all things and you accomplish all things through the counsel of your will. Lord, we're grateful that even though you are a mighty God, you are a gentle shepherd. And Lord, in our hearts, when we are disheartened, discouraged, suffering, tried, tempted, and afflicted, I thank you that you are with us and that you guide us and provide for all our needs. Thank you that you lead us by the still waters and restore our souls. So I pray this evening that you would restore our souls by your word, that you would remind us of how good you are and how great you are. Lord, we're grateful for the power of your word, and thank you that it does not return void, but accomplishes the purpose for which you sent it. So we pray that you would bear fruit through your word this evening. Help us to know it. Help us to understand it. Help us to love it and to trust it and to obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 40. We'll be looking at verses 9 to 11 this evening, but I would like to read for us beginning at the beginning of the chapter, Isaiah 40. And I'll read for us verse 1 to verse 11. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is of the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Tonight we'll be looking at, as I said, at verses 9 to 11, and my 2 points are this. Number one, God is the good news. Number two, God is the great shepherd. So first, God is the good news. Good news comes with power. The good news comes with power. When we were in Guyana, the churches we worked with would often hold outdoor crusades. And we would load our trucks with a huge platform, speakers, amplifiers, lights, generators, and lots of cords. We would set up on a back street and hold evening services for several days. And at times, my friends and I would hop on our bicycles and ride on the road and see how far away we could hear the preacher. And you, I think it was about a mile away one time we could hear the speaking from the, this crusade. The whole neighborhood could hear the message. And that's what kind of what God says here. Go up on a high mountain. Let everyone know the good news. It says, lift up your voice with strength. Let it be heard loud and clear. The good news comes with power. Let's step back and look at the context here. Verse 1, the prophet is commanded to speak comfort to Jerusalem. In verse 3, he is told to cry in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And in verse 6, the prophet is commanded to cry, all people are like grass. The text reaches a peak here, if you will. The gospel is to be shouted from the mountaintops, courageously, without fear. Except the prophet is not the one proclaiming the good news in verse 9. Who is proclaiming the good news? The good tidings, as the King James says. It is Jerusalem, Zion, God's chosen city, shouting the good news to the whole land of Judah, the cities of Judah. From God's chosen city would ring the good news to all God's people. Not just the tidings and the prophecies, the beginning of Isaiah 40, but now the good news, the good tidings are ringing from Jerusalem. As we go through Isaiah 40 to 66, we begin to see clues that the good news is not just going to ring out to the cities of Judah. The good news is going to ring out to all the world from Jerusalem. Isaiah 49, verse 6 says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. The good news will come with power. The good news will come with power from Jerusalem. And by the promise of Jesus Christ, the good news came out from Jerusalem and went to all nations. And according to the promise of Jesus, it will reach to every people of this world. According to the promise of Jesus, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Good news is coming from Jerusalem. The gospel of Jesus Christ will ring out across the globe according to the promise of God through Isaiah. So the good news comes with power. It's clear. It's public. It's bold. Secondly, then, the good news is God. The good news is God. This is point two under point one. Okay. The good news is God. Have you ever been to one of those birthday parties when the party is everything except a celebrations of the person's birthday? Maybe you've been at a kid's birthday and there's that one kid that thinks that they should be the center of attention instead of the birthday kid. Maybe you've been that kid. Or I've heard of one-year-old birthday parties where they invite the parents to all their friends, and their friends are out in the backyard partying and the kid is inside playing by themselves. And humans have always stolen the show from God. That's what we do as sinners. We've tended to forget him inside and party in the backyard and focus on ourselves. Specifically here in our context, we think the gospel is about ourselves. Especially in the more recent decades, the gospel has been marketed as a message about self-fulfillment for me. We've forgotten that the gospel is a celebration about God, not a celebration about humanity. Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, what does he say to Zion? Your God reigns. And what does Isaiah 40 say what the good news is, the good tidings? Behold your God. The gospel, according to Isaiah 40, and according to the Bible, is behold your God. The gospel has always been about God. And thousands of years have passed since Isaiah, and humanity still twists the gospel to focus it on us. Behold me! To the people in exile, in Isaiah chapter 40, God says, look at me. I'm your salvation. I'm your comfort. I'm your God. The gospel is, behold your God. As we travel into the New Testament, we find that the gospel gets more specific. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The gospel is, behold Jesus Christ. The gospel is a declaration of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. A message about humans provides no hope and no comfort. We looked at Isaiah 40 verses 6 to 8 last week. What does humanity have to offer? We're grass. We're temporary. We pass away. We're weak. And God says, no, the message is about me. A message about God brings hope and comfort to despised and weary sinners. The gospel is not focused on humans, nor is it focused even on human actions. The gospel is not humans trying to improve themselves. A message that you can improve yourself in your own strength is not good news. It's bad news. The gospel is not try harder to be a good person. The gospel is not even the strength of our faith or the sincerity of our repentance. The gospel is the action of God. Behold your God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lord God comes with might. The Isaiah 40 and the rest of the Bible proclaim a God who works on behalf of his people. It is his action that saves us. God is the gospel. What do we do? Repent of our sins and believe in Jesus Christ. It's something that he has done for us. So verse 9, there's good tidings, there's good news, and it's not about us. It's behold your God. Main point number 2, God is the great shepherd. God is the great shepherd. Maybe you expected me to say God is the good shepherd. He is. But in this context, he is the mighty shepherd. So firstly, God is the great Savior and Judge. Verse 10. Verse 10 shows the might and power of God. He comes with might. He rules with strength. He comes with a reward. This should be very exciting or very terrifying. Often in the Bible, God comes in salvation and in judgment. He will reward the righteous with eternal life and the unrighteous with judgment. If you are on the playground getting beat up by a bully and the teacher shows up, you're excited that the teacher showed up, but the bully should not be excited that the teacher showed up. That's the idea here. God's showing up, and if you're on his side, it's great news. If you're not on God's side, it is very bad news because he comes with judgment. God is very dangerous for the wicked, but very safe for his people. And then verse 11, a beautiful verse. God is the tender shepherd. God is the tender shepherd in verse 11. When we think of a shepherd, maybe think of a gentleman with a white beard who sits around all day holding fluffy lambs. You know? That's not the biblical picture. Shepherds must be strong. You need a mighty shepherd to protect the sheep. I want to read what David, how David describes his experience as a shepherd. In the context, 1 Samuel 17, he's trying to convince Saul to let him go out and take on Goliath. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there was a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Isn't that amazing? Gentle shepherd taking on bears and lions. You got to be strong. In a short verse from Genesis 31, Jacob describes what his life was like a shepherd. In one verse, he says, "There I was, by day the heat consumed me, and the cold by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes." It takes a very strong person to be a shepherd. You need a muscular man armed to the teeth to be a good shepherd. The Rambo shepherd, if you will. It's not without reason that verse 10 and 11 are put together. Because our Lord is a mighty God, he is a tender shepherd. It says he gathers the lambs in his arms, carries them. And then it says he carries the lambs in his bosom. That's what the King James says. And what probably happening here, he's describing taking the sheep, the lamb, and taking his outer cloak and wrapping it around the lamb to hold it so that he has his hands free. To with his rod and staff and to take care of other sheep. So a lamb that can't keep up or has an injury, he wraps up in his cloak and carries him close to him. Like some of the mothers or fathers today will put a baby, wrap him up in a cloth and kind of wrap him around them and carry them. Something like that. That's the same idea as what's happening here with the shepherd. He's wrapping them up and carrying them in his cloak. It says he gently leads those with young. So he's talking about the mama sheep and the baby sheep, the ewes and the newborn lambs that need special care. And this word that says gently lead, it's one word, it's also used in Psalm 23. And it describes not only leading, but providing for every need along the way. That's very, it's a very exciting word that God guides us, he leads us as a shepherd, but he meets our every need along the way. Our God is very tender with his people. He pays close attention to those who are weak and struggling. He is not only a strong leader and protector, but a wise provider. The one who measured the oceans in the palms of his hands is the same one that leads his sheep by the still waters. The one who put the stars into place with his fingertips picks up the struggling lamb. And the one who will rule with a rod of iron comforts his people with his rod and staff. That's our God. There is a reason that Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd, John chapter 10, and also one with the Father, in the same chapter, in the same breath, is I'm the good shepherd and I'm one with the Father. The Lord Yahweh is the great shepherd of Isaiah 40. Jesus is claiming to be just this shepherd in John 10 when he says, I am the good shepherd. I'll read a couple of verses from John 10. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, is the God of the universe, the mighty God of Isaiah chapter 40. This combination of a mighty God and a gentle shepherd is almost too much for my brain to handle. The mighty God who made the universe, who rules all things, the one who picks us up and carries us as struggling sheep. And this tension between the absolute power of Christ and his absolute tenderness caught the attention of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was a New England pastor in the middle of the 1700s. And maybe you've heard his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. My favorite sermon of his is called The Excellency of Jesus Christ. And if you can handle the almost 300-year-old English, I encourage you to read it. It is a precious gem of a sermon. In this sermon, he compares Jesus as the lion with Jesus as the lamb, which is in Revelation. Jesus the lion and Jesus the lamb. So when I think about the combination of God the mighty King and Lord and God the tender shepherd, words fail me, and I can't do better than what Jonathan Edwards wrote. So I'm going to quote at length from his sermon. So I want you to sit back, I want you to listen to how he describes the beautiful tension between God's power and God's tenderness, especially in Jesus Christ. He says, and here is not only infinite strength and infinite worthiness, but infinite condescension and love and mercy, as great as power and dignity. If you are a poor, distressed sinner whose heart is ready to sink for fear that God never will have mercy on you, you need not be afraid to go to Christ for fear that he is either unable or unwilling to help you. Here is a strong foundation and an inexhaustible treasure to answer the necessities of your poor soul. And here is infinite grace and gentleness to invite and embolden a poor, unworthy, fearful soul to come to it. If Christ accepts you, you need not fear but that you will be safe, for he is a strong lion for your defense. And if you come, you need not fear but that you shall be accepted, for he is like a lamb to all that come to him, and receives them with infinite grace and tenderness. It is true that he has awesome majesty. He is the great God and infinitely high above you. But there is this to encourage and embolden the poor sinner, that Christ is man as well as God. He is a creature as well as the creator, and he is the most humble and lowly in heart of any creature in heaven or earth. This may well make the poor unworthy creature bold in coming to him. You need not hesitate one moment, but may run to him and cast yourself upon him. You will certainly be graciously and meekly received by him. Though he is a lion, he will only be a lion to your enemies, but he will be a lamb to you. it could not have been conceived. Had it not been so in the person of Christ, that there could be have been so much in any Savior that is inviting and tending to encourage sinners to trust in Him. Whatever your circumstances are, you need not be afraid to come to such a Savior as this. Be you never so wicked a creature, here is worthiness enough. Be you never so poor and mean and ignorant a creature, there is no danger of being despised. For though He be so much greater than you, He is also immensely more humble than you. Any of you that is a father or mother will not despise one of your own children that comes to you in distress. Much less danger is there of Christ despising you if you, in your heart, come to Him. This is our God, Lion and Lamb, Mighty God and Gentle Shepherd. This is our Savior. Behold your God. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we praise you for this awesome privilege of studying about your might and your power, but also your gentleness towards your people. And thank you that there is bound up in Jesus Christ, the Creator and the creature, the Mighty God and the Gentle Shepherd. So we worship Him this evening, and we cast ourselves upon Jesus Christ, because we come as poor, despised sinners in need of your grace. And you will not turn away anyone who comes to you by faith in Jesus Christ. So be our gentle shepherd, be our mighty God this evening, as this week, as we go out into a world full of sin, full of suffering. We see it in the world, we have it in our own hearts, and I pray that you would be our mighty God and gentle shepherd. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.